You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And as we say every week, we greet you and welcome you in the name of the Lord, and we bless you. And we're on this program because we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on from 12 noon until 1 every Saturday, and we enjoy this time. And if you'd like to get a copy of a CD or a tape of what we're going to discuss today, we're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah, you know, trumpets. Well, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to our ministry, which is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and the mailing address is Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. We'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you. We greet you and welcome you.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. So we're going to talk about trumpets. We know we've been talking about this for a lot of years on this program. One year on trumpets, one of those 2 days, I believe with all my heart from the scriptures, that we're going to be out here. We just don't know for sure what year we're on, but we know the time and the season because the Bible tells us that. And so here we are. We're just about done. We're just about through the second day of trumpets. You know, they honor it 2 days because they didn't know when the new moon was going to come. So it's a period of 48 hours, and it won't know the day nor the hour. So we're almost through that. It happens to be today, or yesterday, I should say, happens to be Donna and I's birthday. We've been walking with the Lord for 32 years. We got saved on September 26th of 1982. So this is a special program for us as well, isn't it, Pastor?
Amen. Donna? Thank you, Lord.
The day that we came to the Lord and really began to serve Him in a great way. So we're going to discuss these things, and so we hope you can stay tuned in. So Donna's got a couple of announcements she'd like to make for before we start, and then we'll discuss this a little bit further. Amen, Pastor?
Amen.
Donna, go right ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is the Sabbath, isn't it? Amen. And mm-hmm. We're to honor the Sabbath, and we do that. Amen. I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And this week we have our potluck.
That's right. We're going to have a covered dinner.
Covered dinner.
Dish after
so,
church.
Yes, amen. And so that's end fellowship afterwards. And then we also have services on Friday night at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Where we honor the Sabbath. And we have seek the presence of the Lord and spend some time just ministering to Him and soaking. And on Saturday, we have school at 4 o'clock today. This week, today we have a video
mm-hmm.
at 4 o'clock, and then we have prayer at
6 o'clock.
So
we have some good prayer times.
Yes, amen. If you can't come at 4, then come in a little late at 6, and you can join us in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So we're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday. It's also on the internet, so you can listen to us by way of the internet. If you happen to be on the highway right now, and this maybe it's the first time you've ever tuned in, we've been on this radio broadcast for how many years?
17 plus years,
and there's still people calling us every time, every week, saying that this was the first time they heard. Or you know, sometimes people call and they've been listening to us for 3 years. You never know.
You just never know where it's going.
But it's also on the internet, so you can just go to www.wcno.com, and mm-hmm. every Saturday at 12 noon. And you can listen to this broadcast. You can also listen to what we're going to share today and to other lessons that we have taught on their podcast. You just look for SCOTUS Saturday and look for 12 noon, Raising the Standard with Pastor Gene Hilton. And I know you will be blessed. Amen. So it's a blessing to know that this, you know, anyone in the world can really, if they can find us, they can listen to us. Amen.
That's right.
So, praise God.
And we got something special coming up next month on the 25th of October. You might want to mention that to you, Pastor Dunn.
We're going
to
have a special dinner for the Bible Marathon, those who have read and those who are going to read.
Hallelujah.
And so to let people know what the vision is for this year. This is our 14th Bible reading
Hard marathon to believe, isn't it?
here in Martin County, and we read the entire Bible from beginning to end.
Every word.
And it takes almost five full days. It includes 5 days. And 90 hours to read the entire Bible, and we do it day and night, 24/7. It's around the clock, so we have people sign up to read every 15 minutes.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And so some people like to read more, and some people come more than once, but we need lots of people to sign up and fill a spot and read a portion of the Bible out loud, downtown Stuart in the... at the Banshell. Amen. We're all facing Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
And the Word of God is going out again this 14th year of reading the Bible, having Bible marathons since the towers came down in 2001. That's when the vision was given to us. And so we thought it was going to be for 1 year, but it has...
Turned into an apostolic...
mandate.
Mandate now. That's right.
So,
it's all right.
Many have been blessed. So that dinner's going to be an appreciation dinner and also a planning dinner. So if you're thinking about doing, if you'd like to come, if you think you want to read the Bible, just give us a call. I'm going to give you the phone number in just a second, and you can come and be with us that
That's
night.
That's right. Thank
it's
you,
going to be
Lord.
Saturday the 25th at 5 o'clock. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is good.
All the time. We're glad to be here with you.
And this is the time of apples and honey.
Apples and honey.
Honey. You're sweet, honey. But God's word is sweet. It says it's like honey. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at this time, at Rosh Hashanah, people eat honey and dip apples in it, you know, showing that God's goodness. And, you know, he's sweet. And, you know, we're the apple of his eye. Even... of course, we know the Jewish people are the apple of his eye, but, you know, anyone who comes to the Lord, he looks upon us and he protects us and watches over us, so we are the apple of his eye as well, because we're connected, you know. Some people say, well, that's just for the Jewish people. No, we're connected. It says that we're one in Messiah. It's neither Jew nor Gentile. It says that. Paul said that, didn't he? And so that we are one in Yeshua, one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just praise God. And even those who do know Jesus, they... truly are one.
That's
but
right.
There are many Jewish people who know Yeshua as their Lord and Savior. And so we are one in Messiah, and we worship together, and we come to worship the Lord and fellowship in spirit and in truth, because we worship one God. There's only one God. There's only one way to heaven, and it's only one way to the Father, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood.
Amen.
That we might be saved.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you get stirred up about your walk with the Lord during this program, we hope you do, because we're going into the year now 5775 on the Jewish calendar, and this is going to be an exciting year. And our calendar is 2015. Who knows what's going to happen between now and next year? And, you know, right now, we started what? The Shemitah year, which lasts for what? The whole year. They were let the land rest, and they were release all debts and all those things that was required in those days with their servants and all that. And so, and then next year we'll come up to Elul 29 next year, and it'll be what? It'll be the end of the Shemitah year. And who knows what's going to happen next year at that time?
Yes, who knows what's going to happen at the end of that? But there's always been things that have happened. And we have a whole list of things that have happened on the Shemitah.
Yeah.
And if you haven't read Jonathan Kahn's new book about the Shemitah, you need to get it and read it. The Mystery of the Shemitah. And I heard, somebody told me it was $10 in Sam's. I know Walmart has it, but somebody, even in our city, they've been bought out.
Right. Well,
but I'm sure they'll
get
more in.
Sure they will.
But The Mystery of the Shemitah by Jonathan Kahn, a Jewish rabbi who lives in the United States, New Jersey, and who is born again, spirit-filled, speaks in tongues, prophet. I call him a prophet for the nation, and speaks about the things that are to come and about how the Shemitah affects Wall Street.
That's right.
Our finances.
That's right. Our economy.
Tell things that happen in the world.
That's right.
Not just in Israel. Mm-hmm. I spoke to a Jewish man a week or so ago, and he said, well, I think that's taken out of context. That's just for the Jews. And I said, well, it's interesting that I think God is trying to wake up the world, because why are these things happening in America on
a
Shemitah?
Right. There's a pattern.
You know, there's a pattern, and God says, you know, we're going to all the world. And if we're going to all the world, I'm sure God's Spirit is going into all the world.
Amen.
And God's Spirit is speaking truth. Hallelujah. His Spirit is speaking truth. The Spirit of truth, I'm just right over here in John chapter 16 and 15, talks about the Comforter has come. He's the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Amen. And so it's just awesome to know that here God is using, raising up Jewish people, Jewish believers, rabbis, and that are coming to Messiah, and they are teaching us now. And that's how it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
They are teaching us. And so now we're learning more about our Hebrew
roots. Hallelujah.
And, you know, that language, should be dead, according to, you know, the enemy would want to destroy the language, just like they tried to destroy the Jewish people.
Yeah, think about it. No other language was destroyed, and then hundreds of years later come back again. Isn't it
but
incredible?
Hebrew, yes, it has come back.
That's right.
And it's important, and every single letter has a meaning to it. And God is revealing these things to his people, not just Jewish people, but, I mean, his people, you and I, who are born again. We mm-hmm. are his people. Amen. We're his children. He is our Father.
That's right.
God is our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is revealing these things through the Spirit, with the Spirit of truth, using Jewish people who know all about their language.
That's right.
You know, and so God is giving them revelation. So not all Jewish people understand that, but like this man I was speaking to, he felt that only the Shemitah was for Israel. Well, I say, well, I agree with you. But I believe now God is trying to wake up the world. And so the Shemitah is, if you look at things that have happened on the Shemitah throughout history, you will see that things have happened here in America and other countries, because I know God is trying to wake up the people, the world.
So you think about it, Elul 29 is the sixth month on the Jewish prophetic calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all the things that's happened. The 2000 stock market was the biggest drop they'd ever had. And then 2008, it happened again, another Shemitah.
They were all on
Elul 29, and it was worse than the one in 2000. Okay, now we're coming up next year on 2015. What's going to happen next year? And so God's trying to show us something, and we have to understand that if we're born again, we're part of the Jewish community, aren't we? We're grafted into them. We're spiritual Jews, and so we embrace those things and find out. And I thought about this week too, Pastor Donna, that a lot of people are looking to next year, 2015, for the resurrection and the catching away.
Okay.
Because the Elul 29, the next day is what? Tishri 1, which is trumpets. We believe this is what will happen. But just think about this. I personally don't believe that, but I could be wrong. But let's say it doesn't happen next year. Well, then the next Shemitah will happen 7 years later, which will be 2022. And I've taught on this on the radio before. I'm not going to go into that today. But around 2023 is what the Bible reveals to me, that the catching away, or the resurrection, the catching away will occur 7 years before Israel has their work done with the Lord at the end of Jacob's trouble. And so that would be around 2022, 2023. Well, that could be really a good year. Not this next year, but the next Shemitah 7 years later. So we got to be looking up all the time, don't we?
We need to always be ready. You know, we
That's
don't
right.
know when we're going to, our last breath
That's
is going
right.
to leave us. So we need to be ready all the time, whether we're looking for the resurrection during this season, or, you know, we're just living our life, because we never know.
That's
know,
right.
We never know when we have our last breath. So we need to always be ready to meet the Lord, because, you know, to be absent from the body is
be
to
be present with the Lord. We could die tomorrow, couldn't we?
Be present
That's
with
right.
the Lord. Amen. So I was going to say something, but it kind of slipped my mind. But it'll come back if it's important.
But let's think about Rosh Hashanah a little bit. I would like to clarify something. We talk about this a little bit. I've read a lot of books over the years about the last days, and some of them I just can't comprehend how they come up with it. But anyway, the key thing, you read books and it talks about the second coming. Well, now, what is that? You know, what is the second coming? And I read a lot of books. I'm trying to figure out, well, what is the second coming? Or is it when he's going to come back to put his foot on the Mount of Olives? When is that second coming? Well, so I clarified in my book, if you want to get this book that I wrote about the pictures of the Messiah, for a gift of $25 and maybe $3 for shipping and handling, we'll mail it out to you. But anyway, the key thing is this. We're going to read some scriptures here today about him coming, okay? His coming is when he's going to come in the sky, okay? Now listen to me real closely with me. He's going to come in the sky. He's not going to come and put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And what's he going to do? There's going to be a shofar, probably going to be God's voice. He's going to blast from heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that remain on the earth that are walking with the Lord will be caught away. That's called the second coming, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that what it is? He came first to this earth, but he came literally. But see, that's confusing also, just thinking about that, okay? Because his first advent means he literally came to the earth. So that's confusing also. So we want to keep this in context. When we talk about a second coming, it's only talking about when he's going to come in the sky for the body of Christ and those that are walking with the Lord, okay? Well, then what would be the second advent? His first advent, we just mentioned, is when he came to this earth, born of a woman under the Torah, okay? He literally walked the earth. Well, now the second advent will be what? When he comes back at the end of Jacob's trouble and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. That's going to be the second advent. So we can keep these things in our minds straight. The second coming, okay? Well, I shouldn't say the second coming. I should say the first coming, okay? Because it's going to be the first time he's ever done that. He's going to come in the sky to catch all of us. So we want to keep this straight in our minds, okay? Hallelujah.
Well, if we think about what they said when he left, you know, they saw him on right there on the Mount of Olives, right? And he left. He went up into a cloud.
That's right.
Well, they're looking on, right? And mm-hmm. All these people were looking on and watching, you know, thinking, well, where has he gone to? What's he doing? You know, they're thinking. And then so the angels come and they tell us he's going to come back in like manner.
That's right.
So he's going to come back and to meet us, to catch us up in the clouds. Well, like you said, you just read that about in Thessalonians where it's clarified. He's going to meet us. We're going to meet him in the air.
That's
in
right.
other words, his feet are not going to touch the ground until after the 7-year tribulation when he puts his feet on the ground, and that will be in Israel, and that will be for war, and we'll come back with him at that time
right. On
our horse.
That's right.
Each one of us has a horse assigned to us. I'm sure our horse, somebody said, well, what's your horse's name? I says, wow, I don't know, but I'm sure I'll find out. Because each one of us has a horse assigned to us, and I don't think we're going to have to go and round it up. I think it's going to be right there. And, you know, think about that. There's horses in heaven, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
Well, it's a spiritual horse, what kind of horse, but, you know, he's assigned to us. So, like you said, he's going to, when it's time for the catching away, and the Bible makes it quite clear, it doesn't call it the rapture, it calls it the catching away.
Caught away.
He's going to catch us.
See, that's right.
He's going to
snatch us out of here.
Anybody ever catch you in the air? He's going to catch us
in
the air. And we'll go with him.
That's right.
And we'll be with him during the time of the worst thing time that's ever going to be on this earth, the times of the tribulation. That's what we believe.
Yep. So I just want to clarify that before we go on, because you read all the books and they talk about the second coming, okay? Well, is that in the sky? That's the thing I'm trying to bring across to you. Or is it when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives? Well, if we don't understand the Jewish understanding of the scriptures and all, well, we're going to miss out on some things. So when I talk about an advent, it's going to be when he literally comes back, as Donna mentioned in Acts chapter 1 over there, to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. That's just going to be his second advent. Well, there's going to be a coming first, okay? But I want to give us a few clues here about some things. You know, we have patterns in the first covenant, the Old Testament people like to call it, but it's not really old. It's just been a renewed covenant, I believe. But I'm going to go show you something here. If we go over to Isaiah chapter 57, if you're at home, you can open up a Bible. If you're out in your car, well, you can't do this while you're driving, but you can write down the scripture and you can look it up when you get home or whatever. There's one verse here that's really interesting. Two verses here in Isaiah 57. Listen to this. I'm going to put a little Hebrew in here. 57:1 says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and the merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." See this, what this says right here? Now, I looked up this word years ago, this word perisheth, what it means in the Hebrew. Can mean several things. It can mean someone can perish, but it also can mean a disappearance, a removal. It's very important. So we think about the context here, all right? The righteous what? They're going to be removed, or they're going to be out of the way. They're not going to perish. They're going to be, you know what, they're not going to die. They're going to be taken into a new realm. And no man, it says, layeth to heart. When this all happens and the resurrection comes and the catching away, people are going to wonder where everybody's at. You know, we talked about that movie that they got out. Now, we haven't seen that one, but we remember the old one, Left Behind. They were in total shock. They couldn't comprehend where all these people went. They disappeared, in other words.
Some people will be left behind.
That's right. So it says that, so the righteous, what? They're not going to perish, but they're going to be put into a new realm. So they're going to disappear. They're going to be removed. And it says, and no man, the ones that are left, layeth it to heart. And merciful men, what? Are taken away. They're going to be, what? Caught away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from what? From the evil to come. And then verse 2 says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. Hallelujah. Each one walking in his uprightness. So that's what's going to require us to do that. Now, another verse we can talk about, I want to go over to the little book of Zephaniah, Pastor Don. We're just going to give him a little clue here of some things mentioned in the first covenant, and then we're going to go to the New Testament, okay?
Well, while you're going there, this is what I was thinking about a little bit ago. You mentioned the year 5775.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, this year, 5775, has two fives and has two sevens. And those numbers have a lot of significance in
there
sure as
do.
Well.
That's right.
And you have these two fives, on one on each end. You know, I believe God has given us double grace this year.
That's right.
Because we're going to be going through double trouble.
That's right.
There's going to be a lot of double trouble because there is a wind, a whirlwind, and there's a whirlwind of God, but there's also a whirlwind of destruction that's happened throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this balance, you know,
that's
this
right.
balance. It's like a balance, what do you call it, a scale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scale between righteousness and unrighteousness.
Check.
And good and evil,
check.
You know, wickedness. And so here we have this double grace that God's people need to have. We need to have grace. And it's the year, that grace, that letter is the hay.
Mm-hmm.
And for the year, five is a hay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a double hay, which is a window.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a window. God has a window to breathe his ruach, his Holy Spirit, into us. And so, but there's also a window of caution.
That's
and,
right.
We need to be on guard. We need to be prepared. You know, there's wickedness happening all around us. And so we have been given this double grace, I believe, because
that's right.
there's double trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to see, he wants to breathe his ruach throughout the world, his wind, a whirlwind. But the enemy wants to also bring a whirlwind of destruction like a hurricane.
Amen.
But if we stay in God's peace, his rest, because this is a year of rest. The seven represents rest,
yep.
Double rest,
mm-hmm.
double rest, resting in the Holy Ghost, amen. Resting your physical body as well. So here at seven represents rest, doesn't it?
Yep.
Represents the Shemitah, represents the Sabbath. And so if we are in that rest of the Lord, then we're going to be able to be protected from the whirlwind of the enemy. But see, God has a whirlwind also, and he wants to bring revival throughout the earth. And so when you stay, you know, in the center of the whirlwind, what is there? There's peace.
Yeah.
There's calmness. There's a calm. It's like there's a storm all the way everywhere, but we're protected. And God says he's going to protect his people.
That's right. He's going
and
to.
So this is a really unusual year that we're mm-hmm. going into, because we see evil all over. But we can't just keep our eyes on the wickedness. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
And see what the Lord is doing in the midst of the troubles.
True.
Because he's bringing he's allowing troubles to come that people might come to him, that people might
fall
come
on their
to
face,
the Lord
their knees,
and
yeah.
repent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because the time is short. And so, you know, when things get tough or bad, you know, people then finally look to the Lord, don't they?
That's right.
And so then they may repent and come to the Lord and be saved.
That's right.
In the day, just before the day, the evil days
mm-hmm.
that are going to happen.
We're going to talk about this right now, about this evil day.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. So I guess God wanted me to say that.
That's right.
So there's a double seven, a double five.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important to know. And that seven is the sword.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hebrew letter, it's the sword. And so, see, there's a sword of God, and there's also a sword
right.
of the enemy.
So you think about the sevens. The church will be removed, and then 7 years later, what's going to happen? God's going to do his work with what? With Israel. So the sevens are there again. Sevens are everywhere.
Sevens are everywhere.
So think about this now. I'm going to take you to Zephaniah, and if you've never read this book, I hope you can read it today.
And the seven is called a Zayin.
That's right.
And it represents
yeah.
a sword.
Yeah.
See, we need to have the
mm-hmm.
sword of the Lord. Well, we look at the enemy. Don't they have swords? They have swords in the natural, don't they? And they do damage, and they cut off. I just read about a pastor in Nigeria, and his wife and his daughter. This just happened. They went into their home that was right next to their church, and they mutilated them with the sword.
Yeah.
And just before they were still alive, they tied them up and they put their house on fire. This is happening.
Barbarianism,
everywhere.
Yeah.
This is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
So you know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's going to be great revivals around the world and in these Muslim countries. Many people are going to come to the Lord, but there's going to be much suffering as well. And you know, it says the Bible talks about the martyrs. I believe this is probably one of the greatest number of martyrs in history in the last, I don't know how many years.
Well, there was more during Jesus' time that were martyred after that.
But look what's happening now. Every day.
Now. That's right. There was
hundreds of people. I mean, there was how many? It was on the news the other night. I don't know how many, but that they killed people with just, what was it, like poison or something?
Yeah.
They don't even know the number.
Chemical warfare.
Yeah. I mean, you can wipe out a whole city with chemical warfare.
Killing their own people there in that case, yeah.
That's right.
Well, let's read this over in Zephaniah, which we're talking about the resurrection and the catching away. Here we are almost through these 2 days of trumpets. And Zephaniah's name means God hides. If you've been with us on the program over the years, you know that's what it means in the Hebrew. Now I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 14. Let's read this now. It says, "The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly." Now we know that Israel went into, you know, the southern tribes went into captivity, and there was a day of the Lord, when God allowed all that to happen and the terrible time they went through. But this has also got a double meaning. Here's a pattern of the great day of the Lord, which will be what? Jacob's trouble. So remember who God's talking to here. He's talking to the Jewish people, what he's going to do. Now listen to this, verse 15. He says, "That day is a day of wrath," and boy, it will be, "a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities." This is a Feast of Trumpets scripture right here now. "And against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." Now chapter 2, verse 1. "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired." Israel was not desired by God at that time because he was upset with him. We know that. But he has a plan, and it's all underway right now. And he will not forget them. He's going to bring many of them into the kingdom of God as we get into these last days. Now verse 2 says, "Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you." He says it twice. Now listen to this. Now here's a Feast of Trumpets scripture again. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his" what? His judgment, doing things right. "Seek righteousness, seek meekness," humility. Huh? Now listen to this. "It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Isn't that incredible? Isaiah knew that. We talked about that last week. We went to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 over there. Well, we might just do that. Some people weren't listening last week, maybe. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 26. This whole chapter is referring to trumpets because the gates of the temple are open at that time. It tells you that up in the first two, in verse 2. "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." And so this whole chapter is referring to what's going to happen in these days. So we went over to chapter 26 of Isaiah, verse 19, talks about, Isaiah says, "Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise." So he knew there's going to be a resurrection. He says the earth shall cast out the dead, what is like dew. And then we come to these next two verses referring to what he's going to do with Israel. But his purpose with Israel as well was what? That they would all come to him and they wouldn't have to go through all this terrible time. Well, we're in this time now, and we know that the Bible makes it clear that God's going to end his work with the ecclesia, the church, the Jew and Gentile, the Messiah first, and then he's going to turn to Israel. But we have a promise right here. If the Jewish people would read verse 20 and 21, they could see what God's trying to show them. These two verses are revealing trumpets and also the Day of Atonement, the day that's been assigned to Israel. And so that's going to be their day. That's the day I believe with all my heart he's going to come and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. It says over there in Acts chapter 1, at the end of Jacob's trouble. So we've got to distinguish between what? The Jewish people, what God's doing with them, they have not come yet to the Lord, and the church, okay? So look at this verse. So Isaiah knew he was going to die and be resurrected. Now verse 20 says this. After this, we're going to go into the New Testament, Pastor Don. He says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Hear this? And shut thy doors about thee. Hide. Here we go. We just talked about Zephaniah. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. So this is referring to the trumpets, okay? Rosh Hashanah. And remember, those 2 days are called the day of hiding because they don't know for sure what day the new moon's going to come up and show up, okay? So he's telling his people, he said, come enter into thy chambers. One day, we're going to be caught away, hallelujah, to be in that place. And God's desire would be that today that all the Jews that are on this earth would accept Yeshua, and they would be caught away, wouldn't they, Pastor Don? They wouldn't have to go through this terrible time. And he says, and shut thy doors about thee. And here we have the word hide. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Remember, 7 years is just like that to God, until the indignation be overpassed. Well, this word indignation is a term for Jacob's trouble. Now, the next verse is the Yom Kippur. We're talking about 10 days later now. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Go read Revelation chapter 19. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So that's the day he's going to come back. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? Mm-hmm. Now, so God has a plan for Israel. But remember, we keep saying this, that he's going to finish his work with the ecclesia, either Jew or Gentile, in Messiah first. And then he'll turn to Israel. Now, we've said this many times. Jesus made a statement one time that I was troubled with for years. He said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. That's a prophetic word. The Jews should have been first because they rejected the Messiah. They missed the day of visitation. They will not be first. They're going to be last, except for the ones that come to Yeshua, we know. I'm talking about those that don't come until the very end, okay? So they should have been first, but instead they're going to come in last. It makes it real clear, okay? So we have all the patterns. There's many of them in the Old Testament. I keep saying the Old Testament. The first covenant people, that gives us a pattern to what God wants to do today. Now let's think about this. Let's go over now to 1 Thessalonians. Now remember, the Apostle Paul was a Jewish. You know, he was a rabbi. He knew the Word of God. He was a Pharisee, and of course the Pharisees, you know, believed in a resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. Sad to say, they didn't believe in a resurrection or angels or all that. But Paul understood all this, and so he gives us some clarity over here as we get into the New Testament to find out what he's talking about. So we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at this, and then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at this and understand this. So here's Paul. He's been sharing with the church in Thessalonica all these things, and then we see 2 Thessalonians. He's reiterating some things that he gave them so he wouldn't have to tell them again. But he did that to kind of stir their spirit and to understand what God was going to do and what he's going to accomplish in this day and this era, okay? Now, I'm going to read this. I'm going to start in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, and I want to look at verse 13. Paul says, to the end, he, that means all of us, may establish your hearts unblameable, hear this, in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So that's telling you what's going to happen. So what is that? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. When will that be? That's going to be at the end of Jacob's trouble. We're all going to come back with all the saints. Are we going to come back at that time? It says it is coming back to this earth, okay? And so that will include all the Jewish people that come to the Messiah as well. Amen? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Right. And you know, but it says holiness, unblameable in holiness.
That's right. To
he's
be in that group.
For holiness, right?
That's right. So he's going to come back at the end. You can read Revelation 19. But let's go on now. He goes over into chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 13. Look what Paul begins to write now. Now remember, he spent 3 years out in the Arabian desert with God all by himself. He tells you over in Galatians chapter 1 that no man taught him any of this. Nobody showed him this. It didn't come out of books. Didn't come out of the Pharisees. Didn't come out of the Sadducees. God spoke to him out there. And he wrote many of these things down. And that's why we have these books that we have in our hands here today that he wrote. 2/3 of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 13 now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't know. Are you listening today? Do you want to be ignorant or dumb about things and what God wants us to know? Well, a lot of the church is because they don't understand the Jewishness behind what God wants us to know in this day. So he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. So he's talking to believers concerning them which are asleep. That term is used, what? People that have died. that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now think about this. The ones that have no hope are who? The ones that don't know Yeshua. But he's going to give the Jewish people and some of the people on the earth as well another 7 years after the church is caught off this earth and in the resurrection to come to Yeshua. He's given them that grace period again of another 7 years. And if they don't, they're going to be lost at the end. So if you don't have Yeshua, just think about it. We have no hope in this life or the one to come. We need him. Now look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died, do we all believe that? And he rose again?
Amen.
I believe that. Even so, them, who's the them?
The ones that are asleep.
Even so, them also which sleep, okay, those that have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. Okay, remember, the saints in Christ, they've died, their bodies in the grave someplace, but their spirit and soul went back to be with God. Donald quoted that scripture. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he's going to come in the sky with the spirit and soul of those people, and we're going to see what's going to happen.
He says, will God bring with him?
That's right. God's going to bring with him, okay?
Jesus.
With him and with Jesus, okay? Now, verse 15. For this we say, Paul says, unto you by the word of the Lord. See? I remember marking that in my Bible 32 years ago. By the word of the Lord. It wasn't something he made up. It came from the word of the Lord. Maybe when he was out in the Arabian desert. That we which are alive, listen to this, and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, this word prevent in the King James English means proceed before them. Coming to the Lord shall not what? Prevent them or proceed before those which what? Are fallen asleep, that are dead. So first of all, what the dead in Christ is going to rise first. I'll read it again. Which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, what those that have died in Christ, which are asleep. He makes it clear. They're going to go out first. Now here we go. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, listen to this, with a shout. Maybe he's going to call our names out. With the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God. This is the last trump. This is Rosh Hashanah. And the dead in Christ, what? Shall rise, here we got what? First, not at the same time, but they're going to come out first. Those have been in their graves for hundreds of years. They're going to come out, be lifted up into the sky to be joined with their spirit and soul, and they're going to be in a supernatural body from that time on. Wow, that's exciting. You ought to be jumping up and down thinking about it. It's coming soon. And then verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain on the earth, in Christ, shall be what? Caught up, not raptured, but caught up together with them. Who's the them? The dead saints that were pulled out of their graves. They're already up. And it's going to happen just like that. But we're going to be the next group. With them, the dead in Christ, that will be brought out of their graves and be joined with their spirit and soul in the clouds of heaven with the Lord. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It doesn't say on the earth. It says in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that incredible? Now, chapter 5, verse 1 has an interesting thought. But he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He taught them about this already. This is interesting. The word seasons, if you translate that into the Hebrew, it's talking about an appointed time. It's the moedim. So there's a time, there's a fixed time, and there's also what? An appointed time. And so he's telling them, he was sharing with them when all this is going to happen. And it's important to understand this. So one day, I believe, this is all talking about a time called trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. That's what it's all about. It's incredible. Now, I'm going to go into 2 Thessalonians with you for a moment and look at chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to this. Now we beseech you, brethren, Paul says, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now this is talking about the resurrection and the catching away. Okay, we're going to be gathered unto him. Isn't that wonderful to know that? Glory be to God. So that's what's going to happen. So God wants you to know this, understand this, and not be afraid of it. And he told us right there, you should comfort yourselves knowing this. Why would we have any fear about this? We should comfort, exhort one another with these words. If there was something we were going to go through that was going to be terrible, like Jacob's trouble will be, I believe he would have told us what we would have to do. He didn't tell us that, did he, in any way, shape, or form. So we have this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with another good example of him coming and all that. It's a mighty wonderful thing to think about. Now, I was thinking about something else over here in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to back up over here. See if I can remember this. Yeah, look at chapter 1, verse 10. In 1 Thessalonians, listen to this. Paul says, and to wait, we're to wait for his son from heaven. He's coming one day. He's promised that. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, or Yeshua. Listen to this. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. We will not go through any kind of wrath. Aren't you glad? Huh? You ought to be jumping up and down about that. Can you say amen to that? It tells us in in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says this, "For God hath not appointed us," what? "To wrath, but to obtain," what? "Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Not only are we gonna, we're saved in a spiritual realm, but he's going to save us from all the crud that's going to come upon the earth. We will not be appointed to any kind of wrath whatsoever. Isn't that incredible? Now, that's one thing that Paul wrote. Now, let's do this for time's sake. And Donna's got some things, I'm sure she wants to say. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I hope you've read this chapter many times. I've read it probably hundreds of times in my walk with the Lord. But remember, this whole chapter was defending the resurrection out from among the dead. I'd use that term, out from among the dead, because when it comes, there's going to be a lot of dead people that are going to be left that never accepted Yeshua. We'll lay in that tomb for another 1,000 years until the end, okay? But this whole chapter was defending the resurrection. That's what Paul had all those troubles about, talking about the resurrection and all this. And so he wrote this whole chapter, 58 verses, to encourage you and I to understand what the catching away and the resurrection was all about. And so God makes it real clear here. So Paul was defending all this, if you look at it right here. He even mentions in verse 3 of chapter 15, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." How do you receive it? Out in the desert. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He rose on the third day. We're going to raise just before the third day starts. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? Now, we're still in chapter 15. Let's go down to verse 20.
The third day represents the
1,000-year period, the kingdom.
3,000th year.
That's right. So from the time that Christ was on the earth. Verse 20 in this chapter says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become," what? "The first fruits of them that slept." The first fruits of those that died. "For since by man came death," who was that? Adam. "By man," who's that? Yeshua. "Came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now listen to this.
Shall but all be made alive.
Alive.
Even the dead shall
right.
be made alive.
That are in Yeshua.
And those who know God.
That's right. Well, the wicked will be raised one day and put in supernatural bodies. It's going to burn in hell forever.
That's right. That's
we're,
right.
We're not talking about that group. We're talking about the group that's going to come to the Lord. Now, verse 23 says, "But every man," what? "In his own order," about the resurrection. "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ," what? "At his coming." All right? Now, what is it? What's that coming? What's that? That's talking about when he comes back at the end, Jacob's trouble. That's when it's all going to come to a conclusion. He says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall," what? "Have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." Isn't that incredible? So now let's look at the important. This is all important. But he talks about people asking him about, well, what's the spiritual body going to be like? Well, let's go read some of this. Let's read a little bit here. Verse 39 of the same chapter, he says, "All flesh is not the same flesh," right? We have dog flesh, we have horse flesh,
but we're
human flesh.
Celestial,
but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another birds. There are also celestial bodies. Where are they at?
Heavenly
They're in
bodies.
The heavenly bodies. We see them out there, you know, Pluto and Saturn and all the beautiful planets that are out there. The moon, all those are out there. And bodies... what? Terrestrial means here on the earth. But the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is different. They're not the same, are they? There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Some are brighter than others. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown, what? In corruption. Aren't we all corrupt really right now, our bodies? It is what's raised in what? In corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised how? In glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised how?
Power.
In power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what?
Spiritual
a spiritual body.
Body.
There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. The natural man had to come first.
Amen.
And so it is written. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, which is what? Yeshua, was made a quickening spirit. He's the one that gives us life. We're born again.
Mm-hmm.
We have a resurrection in our spirit man where we belong to him. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural.
Natural.
And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Talking about Adam
and
Yeshua. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, I love this,
wow.
We shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly.
Heavenly.
You ought to shout on
Yeshua.
That one.
Amen.
Now,
like
here we
him.
Go. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit
incorruption. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. When we get snatched off this earth, this corruptible body we had is going to turn into something that's going to be incorruptible forever. Isn't that incredible to think about it?
Forever. Isn't
forever.
That awesome?
Now, here's the key verse.
Behold,
I show you a mystery. Now, Paul believed in the resurrection, so the mystery is not the resurrection. The mystery, he's going to tell us here, is there going to be a group of people, when the Lord comes back, they will not go by the way of the grave. We're going to be snatched off of this earth. There's a word in the Hebrew, natzel. N-A-T-Z-A-L. It means a snatching away. We're going to get snatched off the earth.
We shall not all sleep die.
That's right. But we shall all what? Be changed. We're going to be transformed. We're going to go from what? Corruption to incorruption. Huh?
In a moment.
Whoa.
In the twinkling of an eye.
At the last trump. Now this is talking about Rosh Hashanah again. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be what? Raised incorruptible. Listen to this. And we shall what?
Be changed.
For this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? So this is referring, verse 52, about what? Trumpets. The last trump. Well, Paul knew all this, and we've talked about this on this program, and Donna mentioned a little bit last week about trumpets. You know, they blow a certain sound in the morning at 9 a.m., and then they blow those trumpets again at noon, another sound, and then at 3 in the afternoon, they have another sound. That makes 99 sounds on that particular day. They do this 2 days in a row on these 2 days. All right? And then in the evening, they have a great big shofar they blow it, and it's called the Awakening Blast. That's the 100th time it's blown that particular day. So the last trump is that last trump that's blown on Rosh Hashanah, and it's called the Awakening Blast. It's to wake people up. That's what the trumpet's all about. And so, see, we have this right here. We have the last trump. We heard the trump over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 over there about the trump. It's the same trump. It's the last trump. It's blown on what? On Rosh Hashanah. Some people say, well, no, it's the last trump in the book of Revelation. I got news for you. Paul wrote this about maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50 years maybe before that the book of Revelation was ever written, okay? So he was not referring to that. And people missed that as well, thinking about that. So this is the last trump. This is the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.
We're going to be out of here one day.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Now, it doesn't look like it's going to be this year. We're almost through this time. But we continue to watch. We look up and we trust the Lord. Because one day it's going to be the real thing. Just like, think about this. They rehearsed the Passover when they came out of Egypt for 1,500 years. They did that every year, Moedim. On the Passover. They did it for 1,500 years. And then one day, what happened? It was no longer a rehearsal. It was the real thing. Yeshua came. And only a handful of people knew that he was going to be there at that time. But he came, didn't he? Hallelujah. So, right now, the Jews have just rehearsed trumpets. It's over with in Israel right now because they're 6 hours ahead of us. They've already rehearsed all this, okay? But
they've already blown the shofar.
They've blown the shofar.
And I was doing some research, and you know that when you talked about the Shemitah year in the beginning of the program, and you know their land is to rest, right?
That's right.
That seventh year, and there are people that are doing that. They're allowing the land to rest, and that means they're not sowing into the land. They're not doing anything. They're letting the land rest. And so, you know, when you're obedient to God in those things, because we know God doesn't change. This is a year of rest, and people really need to get a hold of that. Because it's a year to rest, you know. And even Paul, he even said here to encourage them in 55. He says, "Oh death, where is the sting?
That's right.
Oh grave, where is thy victory?" You know, some may die before the catching away.
Sure,
I'm sure there will be. You know,
that's
every
right.
single day there's things that happen, accidents, and there's people, even Christians, being murdered, in other countries and other places for their belief.
Right.
But praise the Lord, they're not falling to the enemy's plans. He says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells him, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast.
Hallelujah.
What's that word mean?
No,
steadfast.
That's right. Not to move.
Don't be wavered.
That's
moved.
Right.
Don't give up your faith because there's a sword in front of you. No, stand in victory.
The next word tells us that,
doesn't it? Be steadfast, unmovable, don't move, always abounding in the work
of
the
Lord.
Don't step away from the work of the Lord. See, fear would want to cause people to back off, right? He says, don't back off, don't be unmovable, but continue the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So continue. Okay. Continue with the Lord. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what hardship you have, no matter what you may be facing today or tomorrow, continue to press in and be unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord.
That's right.
It's not in vain.
That's right.
Praise God. So it's just, you know, there are many, many trials and tribulations that people go through.
That's right.
But we must always continue to know that we have the victory. Whether we live or we die, we're going to be with the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. If we know Him, if we know Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, if we have a fellowship with Him and we know Him, not just know about Him, but truly have a relationship.
That's right.
An intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we can have we're supposed to worship God. The name of the ministry we have is called Spirit of Prophecy.
That's
well,
right.
It comes right out of Revelation 19:10, the
right.
tail end of it.
Hallelujah.
It says, worship God.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're to worship God. There's only one God. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus. Now we know who it is. Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy.
That's right.
Glory to God. And
sure
all
is.
Things. See, all things are His.
Listen to our intro on the program. We talk about that on the intro.
Yes.
But you know, we're thinking about the resurrection. Now, we're talking about the body of Christ, Jew or Gentile, that comes. Well, what about the Jewish people that died during the first covenant that God had in place? They never knew Jesus. And a lot of people think that they're going to come out of their graves the same time that the church is. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. And we can look at several places to prove that. So this shows me, I'm going to read you Daniel chapter 12, the very last verse. This is a real clue. And we want to keep them in mind because God wants them to come as well. A lot of them are going to come at the very end. It tells us that in Zechariah that they're going to come.
They're going to come because they believe they walk by faith.
That's
Abraham.
Right. He walked by faith?
Even though I believe Abraham had a visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Probably a lot of them did.
Yes,
yeah.
They did.
That's right.
They did from the angel of the Lord. It's called the angel of the Lord.
Right.
Yes, and so, but many of them didn't. But they walked by faith, and
that's
they
right.
believed in God. And mm-hmm. see, they didn't believe in another God. They believed in because they had to get rid of all their idols. Remember, one time they had idols.
That's right. Lots
and
of them.
They got rid of all their idols.
Yeah.
And they believed in the one true God. No mixture. See, God doesn't want mixture.
No mixture.
And so they are all going to be in the kingdom of God.
The righteous
because
ones. Yeah.
Because they walked by faith.
That's it. They didn't know Jesus, but it's going to be by faith.
And
we come by faith the same way.
That's
we
right.
have faith in Yeshua. Okay. Now, this last verse proves
faith
to
in
you.
Faith in God through Yeshua.
Yeah. This last verse proves that the Jewish people then that were in the first covenant, mm-hmm. and I also believe all the martyrs that will die during Jacob's trouble, all right, that are in Yeshua, there's going to be a resurrection at the end of Jacob's trouble. And what day would that be on again? It would be on trumpets, the same time it started in the beginning, okay? So look at what.
So that shows us that God repeats His cycle.
Over and over, same way.
Throughout the year, as you look to the feast of the Lord, that's why this book is so important. If people would just get this book, they would understand many, many, many of the feast days. They would understand why this happens in the fall. They
That's
would understand
right.
Passover. They would understand why Jesus has already fulfilled Passover. He's already sure. fulfilled first fruits. He's already fulfilled Pentecost. This He has not already fulfilled as yet.
That's right.
So this is
it's
the
coming,
next
hallelujah.
Appointed time that is on. It's in this in the next season. This is
That's
the
right.
next appointed time.
It's going to be a Kairos time when it comes
to be fulfilled.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And these last feast days, they all happen in 1, 2, 3, right?
That's
within
right.
so many days.
At the end,
days
it'll be over in 21 days, right?
Yeah.
Now let me lead you. This is the very last verse of Daniel. Listen to this real close now. All right. The angel was telling Daniel this. He said, "But go thou thy way." Till the end be. Now, what's he talking? He couldn't possibly live long enough to be living out here what all was revealed to him in this book that God gave him all this information he wrote down for you and I. He couldn't possibly live that long. So what would the end be? It would be the end of his life, okay? For thou shalt rest. This is a term in Hebrew, meaning you're going to die and rest and go back to be with your fathers. Remember, they were buried where their fathers were buried and all that. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. Means he's going to die. And then here's the word, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Standing is referring to resurrection. And stand, or we'll be resurrected, in thy lot. He's got a lot that's going to be given to him, L-O-T, that was we see this over in the first covenant when all the tribes were given a certain property with pieces of land in Israel that's going to be theirs at the end. Well, think about it. Daniel and his tribe, he'll have a lot as well. And stand in thy lot at the what? The end of the days. And so the word stand means to arise. So this will be the last Feast of Trumpets of this age that we're living in right now. Okay, at the end of Jacob's trouble. So if Daniel's going to be resurrected at the end, okay, all the other first covenant people, all the prophets, you know, Hosea, Joel, all, they'll all be resurrected at the same time on the last Feast of Trumpets of Jacob's trouble. Wow. And when that happens, think about it. That's going to, from that Feast of Trumpets till the Day of Atonement, we have 10 days. God still, His grace is still being poured out. They're going to have another 10 days to come to Yeshua and accept Him into their life. And if not, they're going to be lost. We've talked about the Day of Atonement a lot. The gates are open all week from Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year. The gates were open on trumpets and remained open until the Day of Atonement. At the end of that day, what? The gates are slowly closed, and with the people that don't come, their fate will be sealed at that time, because that's when Yeshua will come back and put His foot on the Mount of Olives at that particular time. So we have all this to show us and to understand what God wants us to know. So he has a plan for the church, and He also has what? A plan for the nation of Israel. He's not done with him. I bind anti-Semitism. I bind this replacement theology teaching and all that. He has a plan. He will never forsake Israel. You can read all the prophets the way they end at the end of their books. They all are showing you what God's going to do. If you doubt that, I'll challenge you, because we're talking about Teshuva. We're out of Teshuva now, but it's a good time. Go read Hosea chapter 14, the entire chapter, and you'll see how God talks about them to return and come back to Him. And then also, He's promised them what He's going to do with them at the end. So it's everywhere you read in the Old Testament, or the First Covenant and the Revised or Renewed Covenant that we have today with the Lord. So I just have a problem with the Old Testament. It's not old and done away with. There's so much in it that we need to know. Well, we're running out of time here, Pastor Donna. So anyway, we love you. We're on this program because we care for people. And
amen.
So continue
you,
to
Father.
Look up. I do this because we got all the way a few more days to get out through Tabernacles, don't we, Donna?
Yes, we do. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 o'clock noon. You can also listen to us on the internet at WCNO.com, and you can listen to this program again if you'd like to, and there's other programs there also. Just go to Saturday and look for 12 noon and Pastor Gene Hilton, and you can listen to more programs on the internet. That's WCNO.com. We have church services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning service, and tomorrow we will be having our service, and we'll also have a fellowship dinner afterwards. So if you'd like to come, just come and be blessed. Amen. And we also have this afternoon, we have a video? About...
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay.
I haven't made
surprise.
Up my mind yet.
Amen. So, and then we'll be praying at 6 o'clock. So come and pray. If you can't come at 4, come and pray with us. Prayer is so needed. We need to pray.
Amen.
And we also have Friday night Sabbath Shabbat services, and that's at 7 p.m. If you'd like more information or calendar, just give us a call. Remember to keep the Bible Marathon in prayer. It's going to be in November. And we just want to say the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007.
So we tell you every week to close this program.
Look up.
Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And we say what, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.